Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes,
Yuli still runs pretty well.
Bunting on the 0-2 pitch, and it's going to work out. Yuli comes in to score. That one, Yuli was coming down the line, so that was more of your traditional suicide squeeze. And the Astros take a 2-1 lead on an 0-2 bunt.
Yesterday, your Houston Astros win again after beating, and of course, I'll tell you what, the key from yesterday was that you Dallas Keuchel with another quality start.
It was. Who says the Astros don't bunt, by the way? That was really, really ballsy because it was two strikes. I think it was 0-2.
Yeah.
An 0-2 count. And he said a suicide squeeze, but when you
safety
watch the
squeeze.
It was kind of in between a safety squeeze. He did his secondary lead off of third base. He didn't come. A suicide squeeze to me is you come barreling
he's
down.
Running. The difference between a suicide is he's running. He's running as soon as the pitcher's throwing the ball.
Yes.
A safety squeeze is you get a little bit more of a secondary lead and then you take off on contact.
It was more a safety than a, but still two strikes. I mean, he could have been held, you know, hung out to dry, hanged out to dry if the guy missed, if he missed the bunt. But it was a good play, so it was big time. And, oh, by the way, I think after that, a certain Colin McHugh came in and held the score in that place for the closer,
right,
Rondon.
Well, not to mention Mr. Landry Locker, who predicted in, as part of his Friday future tripping that they would win, four or six in a row?
I said they wouldn't lose over the weekend. They'd be 6-7. And by the way, the lead over the Seattle Mariners now up to 3.5, Mr. John Lopez. So you better watch your ass and be ready to go buy me a brisket. Because those of you just tuning in, most of the loopholes already know, July 31st comes and goes. I said that the Astros would be 8 games above the Seattle Mariners. They're actually going to play the Seattle Mariners the last two, so that'll give me a chance.
I just need
it to be 6 by the 29th.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I hope they do.
John's been rooting against them ever since. Don't let him try to fool you. He's been rooting against them ever since.
Here's the deal. I can't lose because I'm going to make you guys a brisket anyway at some point, hopefully. Maybe in the next couple of weeks here. We'll figure it out. But, that's a tall task. Yeah, it was Colin McHugh. After Keuchel came in, got the lead, McHugh comes in, one inning pitched. Zero hits, zero runs, strikeout, and a 0.86 ERA. He's going to have a good time at the All-Star game.
Oh, wait. No, he won't. Colin McHugh, one of the bigger snubs from the Astros not going, him and Charlie Morton, who Charlie Morton's pitching out of his mind, having the best year out of his 11-year career thus far with, an 11-2 record so far on the season, but yet somehow, for whatever reason, did not get picked to go to the All-Star game. Your five Astros that did get picked, of course, no surprise, Jose Altuve, he led all players with almost 5 million votes, so of course he's going to be your starting second baseman. George Springer
doesn't deserve it.
George Springer was the biggest surprise for me. I mean, I guess what defensively is what they're going off of, or
well,
maybe the name, but I mean, I don't know. Numbers wise, I didn't think that he was worthy of a All-Star.
I think he's worthy of it in the context of outfielders in the American League.
Okay,
you know, I think he's still. All-encompassing as an outfielder, still one of the best outfielders in the American League. So he deserves it. What bothers me is guys like McHugh, man. I mean, 0.86, I mean, just been nails the whole time.
Yeah.
They have a bias inherently against middle relievers, which I don't understand. I got into it with somebody on Twitter yesterday. He's like, well, middle relievers – why aren't they starting pitchers? Well, why aren't closers starting pitchers?
Yeah.
They have a role and they
outside
do it.
Outside of Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
No, listen, and here's the deal. I mean, baseball's been going, I mean, this whole, you know, setup, relief and all that. I mean, that's been going on long enough in baseball where it's not a phenomenon anymore. I mean, you know, you've got guys that's what their role is.
Yeah, this isn't just Nolan Ryan throwing 200 pitches.
Exactly.
You know?
Right? I mean, you know, Colin, this is not a spectacle where, you know, the Astros are unique in the sense that they've got a guy that just does, you know, inherently middle relief. So it's, you know, again, it's an accepted part of baseball and why he's not being part of it. And again, the thing about a guy like Colin McHugh is he can come out and start if he needs to. to. You know, he can do some long relief.
He
if
has.
Really have to. Exactly. So, you know, and again, it's much like the Pro Bowl, much like, well, of course, the NBA doesn't do it quite so much, but more like the Pro Bowl, if anything, where, you know, some guys could drop off between now and the next week or whatever it is. So there's an outside chance. We know Verlander's not going to start. Okay, and we'll just round up the All-Stars real quick. Bregman. Well deserved. We'll get to him in just a second. So you got Bregman, you got Springer, you got Altuve, you got Verlander, and of course Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole, I predicted that before the season too. Since we're making me into baseball Jesus right now, I've been all over this Astros team, but I got to say, the fact that Carlos Correa is not an All-Star to me is extremely disappointing. Not because he deserved it, but because of what we thought he would be before the season.
Yes,
we're going to nitpick a team that's 30 games above 500, there's a couple things about the Astros right now that I'm a little bit concerned about. Number one, the bullpen. Despite Colin McHugh, on Friday, Brad Peacock gives up 2 home runs in the 9th. The game was so out of control, it really didn't matter. But the bullpen is showing signs that it could have some chinks in the armor, if you will. Yeah. And Carlos Correa not taking the next step that we all thought he was going to take. Hopefully he comes back healthy and he finishes strong. But those are the two things right now that, you know, if you want to nitpick a ball club and say those are the two things that kind of stick out to me.
It does. Correa, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, you know, here and there. He should be just like the unquestioned Derek Jeter of baseball right now, now that he's been up for a while.
Yeah.
And he's been injured and hasn't really... he's been very good. I was going to say he's been good. He's been more than good.
Right.
He's been very good, but he hadn't been what we thought he would be.
No, with the expectations, and you mentioned it last week about, you know, when you were talking. Don't tell Mrs. Correa that. She certainly feels she's all in on our boy Carlos. But, he's been nicked up. And, of course, you know, the guy's 23 years old. He's in his fourth season. And let me ask you guys this. Is it partially just because the expectations are so sky high and so astronomical?
Yes,
for
it is
Carlos
partly
Correa?
Because of that.
Yeah. For sure, 100%. Yeah.
You know, you look at it, he didn't have a bad year last year. But on the flip side of that, you know, he only played 109. I say only. He played 109 games because he was out. And, of course, you know, like I said, he's missed, what, 10, 15 games so far? I think it's, what, 76 and they're at 90, 91 right now. So, you know, that's part of the deal, too. If this guy can come back, and of course, I don't know if you listened to Amy Lawrence's show last night, but you know, popular minds think that he won't be back until after the All-Star break. So I don't know if you guys knew about that or not. It'll be trending here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But if he can come back and have a monster second half of the season and get things rocking and rolling,
sure.
Right? And we talked about
this. I mean, like I said, he's been very good. It's not like he's a disappointment.
Right.
He just hadn't been like the awe-inspiring greatest ever shortstop that we thought we would see.
We thought we were going to get like a Jose Altuve with just, you know, just a bigger version.
With A-Rod. We thought we were getting like another A-Rod. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's unfair. Maybe this could be more about me and a lot of people expecting Carlos Correa to just be the unquestioned best player on this team.
Or
on
in
a
baseball.
Team that has an all-time great in Jose Altuve. That's what we expected. Maybe we just need to adjust it. He's a good player, a really, really good player on a team, but he's never going to be the guy that's the face of the franchise. And I'm saying this about a 23-year-old. I'm almost disgusted with myself.
Yeah, that's the other part.
I'm almost disgusted with myself. I got ahead of myself. Maybe that's just a me thing.
But here's the deal. What's Bregman? Is he Bregman's in what, year 2, year 3 of being called
up? It's his
up.
Second year of being a full-time player.
Being a full-time guy, right? That's what I'm saying. So, you know, but I mean, you know, think about it this way. Who would you feel better about having up right now? And let's say, all things being equal, him being 100% healthy, who would you feel better about with the game on the line up to bat?
Well, this is
Correa or Bregman.
I would feel better about Bregman.
Bregman.
I mean, Bregman right now is one of the most clutch hitters on the team. Gurriel is also leading the league in batting average with guys in runners in scoring position. But just the step that Bregman has made from last year to this year is a step that I haven't seen Correa make.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, if you ask me, like 2 years from now, there's a chance that if Bregman keeps continuing what he's doing, there could be a time in a couple years where we're saying this guy is the best guy on the left side of the infield. And this guy's a natural shortstop. And that's when you're going to have to decide, do you want to pay Carlos Correa $300 million? Because he's going to get it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get it from somebody regardless,
based
on potential.
If he continues to play the way he's at, the one thing I think baseball has shown, and we saw it last year, is if you're Manny Machado's going to get paid, we know that. Bryce Harper's going to get paid, we know that. But you know, I think baseball is going to come to a point where, and again, we saw it a little bit last year, where they're going to have to, they're going to rein in some spending. And again, if this guy continues to play at a good, not great level, do you really think he's going to warrant a $300 million contract?
It just seems like the money's always there in baseball, and he's only going to be 26 years old. He's probably going to be a multi-time All-Star. He might even be a multi-time champion. Mm-hmm. I could see it, but I mean, the way that Bregman's coming on, Lopez, let me just put you in an imaginary time machine. What are we saying about Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman 2 years from now? Two years to this day, on July the 9th, 2020, what are we saying about these two guys?
I mean,
guys?
If you're just basing it on trends right now, it would be that, you know, Alex Bregman has, you know, all the markings of a guy that's going to be playing 15 years and a 12-time All-Star. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's just nails.
Very George Brett-ish.
Yeah. Well, much like
Shout
that.
Out to George Brett.
Yeah, right. George Brett.
I flipped him off my freshman year of high school.
I did.
He not give you an autograph?
No, it was by pure accident.
And Correa, it's funny you ask, because it's kind of occurring to me right now, so I could be way off on this. Correa could be like the A-Rod. You know, in terms of, I mean, not the production. I'm talking about in terms of the image, like, do we really like him or not? I think a lot of people are trying to decide. Do we? You know, they're going to start turning on Correa
because there's
bit.
A honeymoon phase right now. Right. Like if the Astros, unless the Astros win the next two World Series, that'll be great. Eventually, the fans are going to have some sort of passion, some sort of venom towards somebody. And if there's anyone you want to be mad at right now, it's got to be Carlos Correa. I'll take it.
Alex Rodriguez is not a good example. Think of a player like that because Alex Rodriguez did fulfill his potential, but people were like,
James Harden.
James Harden,
yeah,
bingo.
Like the guy that the Rockets fans are always mad at James Harden when they lose. There's a lot of times baseball fans look at the guy.
Yeah, but I think here's the deal, though. Could he be a guy that, and really, he could, listen, if, as long as he makes his bones in the postseason, that's gonna be what it's gonna come down to.
Yeah, that's it.
And listen, we talk, here I am saying, you know, guys didn't get paid this past season. You know, what if he's just a shortstop version of an Eric Hosmer? Mm-hmm. Right, Eric Hosmer's a good, not great baseball player. All right, I mean when you really get down to it, but he had, you know, he's had some great postseasons, he's had some great at bats, and he's been good every other year. What if Carlos Correa is another version of that? I mean, and it could very well be a possibility because I'll tell you what, that guy was beloved in Kansas City, and what makes him a little bit different than a James Harden is he's done it in the postseason. Like Carlos Correa has come up big in the postseason. Harden has not done that yet. At least
he's put numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But I mean, you know, he hasn't had as we all know, he's not had that defining moment yet. Whereas Carlos has come correct in the postseason. So,
and then as we're having this conversation, I'm like, what was I doing when I was 23?
Exactly.
You know?
That's the thing.
The fact that he got,
he got called up so young. Yeah. Like I'm looking at this guy, and I admit it's how silly it sounds. It's just. Were we expecting too much from Carlos Correa?
Yes, I think the answer is obvious in front of us. It's in front of us.
Like, and also, you know, Alex Bregman, part of what I like about Alex Bregman is he just comes across as a guy, and all his teammates say it, Lance McCullers was telling stories, he lives baseball. Yeah. This guy is obsessed with baseball. Correa has all the God-given talent, but I don't know if he lives it as much as Alex Bregman. I don't even know why I'm making him choose sides between the two.
Well, because Bregman is 24. You know, but you know, Bregman is pretty much the same age as Correa and has showed us something new every year.
Right.
You know, and Correa with even who if you stand them next to each other, you say Correa's the better player. If you just look at him.
Yeah.
If you look at the way they feel, whereas Bregman is so technically sound.
Yeah.
Correa is so smooth.
Right.
If you look at the way they feel, you say, okay, Correa's the better player. You look at the way they stand, Correa's the better player. Look at their swings, Correa's the better player. But who's the better player? Bregman.
And when they're playing their best, when Correa does it, it just looks different.
Yeah,
like,
it just looks
unbelievable. There was an inning this year where he hit like a 460-foot homer, and then he had a play at shortstop that only he could make. Like when he's playing his best, it is just it's mesmerizing. It's like a mesmerizing experience watching Correa play well.
You know who? Well, and if we're gonna stick with the Houston comparisons, I mean, he's kind of reminiscent of a Jadeveon Clowney. All right, because when Jadeveon decides to turn it on.
He was the number one overall pick early. He was already crowned.
When you're the number one pick, the expectations are different. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. When you're the number one guy, that means you were the best player in that draft. You are supposed to be a superstar when you're picked number one. Whether or not you pan out to be remains a different story. But I think that's, again, Correa's done it, and I think what maybe frustrates people, and I think a lot of it is too, is the fact that he got hurt. Okay, I think that's a big part of it. Again, this year,
like Clowney,
Like Clowney, yeah. Like Clowney, but again, he's done
keep
in the postseason.
Healthy,
you've got to, man. You've got to. And again, this could all be for naught. And listen, I say this tongue in cheek to some extent. But you know, getting married at an early age, just saying, worries me a little bit. Worries me a little bit.
And you know what worries me a little bit? That he was planning that engagement before Game 7 of the World Series. I had a hot take about this. I don't want to get too hot about it, but to me, when you're getting ready for Game 7 of the World Series, it's the game of your life. It's do or die. To me, if you're planning an engagement before Game 7 of the World Series, to me, that's just a little bit weird. What happened if they lost? Was he still going to propose?
You know what Teddy J calls it?
Probably not.
You know what Teddy J calls it? A succubus. So, I'm not saying...
Hey, guys, Teddy J here.
I'm not saying Mrs. Correa is a succubus, but does Bregman have a girlfriend? I mean, you know...
He probably has a few.
Exactly. Case in point.
Which is the way God meant it to be, right?
My God. Listen, you're on this earth for a finite time, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, God bless Carlos Correa. That's Landry Locker. I'm Fred Davis. Don't forget about our boy John Lopez and, of course, DJ Figueroa. When we return, it is time to localize it. A Astro nemesis with arguably one of the sillier reasons I've ever heard as to why you would not sign a long-term contract. And do we want this guy in H-Town? Lots to get to. Localize it in the loop on a Monday. Glad to have you on board.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.